Welcome back to another episode of the Bills Wire podcast brought to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. I'm your host, Rob Quinn, at RobQuinn619 on Twitter. I'm the managing editor of BillsWire.com. And as always, I'm here with my co-host, Kyle Salagi. Before we get into the show, just want to make sure you guys have BillsWire.com bookmarked. You can connect with us on social media at the Bills Wire on Twitter, on Facebook. Make sure you're subscribed to our podcast on iTunes, Audio Boom, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave those 5-star reviews. Today we've got an interesting show after a little hiatus. A lot of news at One Bills Drive, a lot of drama, a lot of sadness. And we'll just hop right in going from here. Kyle, how are you feeling after you had a day to digest that 54-24 loss to the Los Angeles Chargers?
I'm just a mixed bag of emotions. Just the Nathan Peterman era didn't get off to a great start, as we'll get into. And it's just upsetting because I don't know if it's going to be coming to an end anytime soon. And that's keeps me up at night, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, this was a move that really, really shook the NFL landscape. The Bills were demolished 47-10 by the New Orleans Saints, and Peterman entered the game late in the fourth quarter, completed 7 of 10 passes, threw a touchdown. It was in the fourth. The game was over at that point. And after the game, a lot of people on Twitter and social media were really saying, Peterman needs to play. He looked really good. And Sean McDermott came out and said, you know what? I believe in Tyrod. Tyrod's our starter. That's what I said. I know what Tyrod's done. I know what Nate's done, but Tyrod's our starter. That was Monday. On Wednesday, 2 days later, 5 days before the game against the Chargers, Sean McDermott makes the decision to bench Tyrod Taylor in favor of Nathan Peterman. His reasoning? Really, it's about becoming a better team. Like every position, the quarterback position is no different. I understand the headline part of it as you guys are typing away this morning, and I understand that, but every position's evaluated, and that's the direction I decided to go. So, for the next 4 days, the national media was covering the Bills like they haven't in as long as I can remember, bashing Sean McDermott, questioning why they would bench Tyrod Taylor. The Buffalo Bills were currently holding the sixth seed, fighting for a playoff berth, had a game against Los Angeles. It was a conference opponent. They needed to win that game on the road before a difficult stretch against the Chiefs and the Patriots, which we'll talk about a little more going forward. But it was really just a shock because the defense was really a big issue in those losses. And while Tyrod wasn't fantastic by any means, I don't think that his play was worthy of being benched for a day three rookie. Kyle, what was your initial reaction as soon as you saw that scroll across the ESPN ticker that Tyrod was benched?
I was like everybody else. I was just shocked. I was really questioning everything. The whole season was put into question. Because, you know, I've been a very vocal supporter of Tyrod for quite some time now. I don't think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. I think that he's above average, which is a lot better than the Bills have had for quite some time. And above average quarterback's actually, you know, a very, very good thing for the Bills. So to see just the team not perform well for a number of weeks, especially on defense, the defense just fell apart and the offensive line not helping Tyrod at all. And just to see Tyrod be the scapegoat for that and to get benched, it was just like, well, why is he the one that's getting, why bench him? It's just, you can't really bench an entire offensive line. You can't bench an entire defense. So I guess if you want to kickstart your offense, try to get some change in there, the change has to be made at the quarterback position. And McDermott thought that he had something in Peterman just because of what he saw in preseason practices and then in the limited sample size against the Saints. So, I mean, I see where he was coming from. He thought that a change had to be made to get this offense back on track. But as we saw, it was obviously the wrong decision. Yeah, it was just very shocking when it happened.
Yeah, and it wasn't an NFL debut that was just, he's got some learning to do and maybe he's not ready. He came out and threw a pick six on the opening drive. He was benched after the first half after completing six of 14 passes, threw five interceptions. The only quarterback since the AFL-NFL merged to throw five interceptions in one half. And then Tyrod comes in the second half, and he's his typical self. 15 of 25, 158 yards and a passing touchdown, added another 38 yards on the ground and a rushing touchdown. So it was really laughable when you saw the game. And in the first half, it was, okay, we'll see how Peterman does. And from the opening drive, the game was over. Once he was under pressure, you could tell he was just firing it. Even Rick Dennison said on Monday that he knew where the ball was supposed to go, but he needed to learn how to take a sack when he was under pressure. Because when guys like Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram are in your face, you got to just tuck that and take the loss of three rather than turning the ball over and having Corey Toomer run it back 56 yards for a touchdown. And it was just a disastrous performance, and it was inexcusable, and it makes Sean McDermott look bad. And now he's getting challenged by the national media, the local media. So after a performance like that, now Sean McDermott, everything he's saying is going to be under scrutiny and looked at under a microscope. I mean, you have to wonder if the locker room is even going to pay attention and really rally around him as they have when the season was going well. Because at this point, it's hard to justify anything that he says right now. Our writer Justin DeLauro wrote a fantastic piece yesterday on BillsWire.com. You can find that about all the mixed messages that he's sending. First, what we already said about his confidence in Tyrod Taylor and making sure that he was going to be the starter, and then to bench him 2 days later. But in July, he endeared himself to fans, really, by saying, you know, as the new head coach, the minute I got hired, I'm a part of this team. I have to embrace this 17-year playoff drought. I'm now a part of that. I can't separate myself from it. And Monday, he was asked about the same thing, and he goes, well, I wasn't here for 17 years. I've been here 10 months, and so that's what I'm focused on. Then, another contradiction was after the Jets game that began this three-game losing streak, McDermott said this was an uncharacteristic loss, and it starts with being honest with ourselves. That's where it starts. In order for us to move forward and grow from it, you have to be honest with ourselves. And I can assure you we'll do that. On Monday, he wasn't really that honest with himself. To anybody that watched the game, I think they would agree. He said there were some plays yesterday he wants back. But there were also some plays, when you look at it, you say that was pretty darn good. It was hard to see on the surface. The 10,000-foot view, hard to see with the result being what it was. When you take one play at a time and you really look at it, you can say, hey, we're moving the ball. Now, mind you, Peterman had completions of 3, 8, 8, 8, 19, and 20 yards, including a fumbled snap, and completed 5 passes to the opposing team. So I don't know what you can take away from that. Kyle, what do you think about McDermott right now, how the locker room can respond, and just this flip-flop back and forth of, oh, I'm on board, oh, I'm not, this is our quarterback, this is not, Peterman played well. What do you take from this?
Yeah, to go off that last part, I don't know what plays he saw that were pretty darn good.
He was asked what was pretty darn good. He highlighted the opening drive. The opening drive started with two handoffs.
The pick six drive?
The two handoffs a 20-yard pass to Kelvin Benjamin that resulted in him getting carted off the field with a knee injury, followed by an incompletion and a pick six. So I guess if you are 10,000 feet away, that was pretty darn good.
You know, some pretty darn good stuff on that drive. But the thing that's really making me frustrated now is that he still won't commit to a starting quarterback for this week. He's still saying, oh, we'll evaluate everything, got to be honest with ourselves, you know, got to watch the tape. So, I mean, just watching the tape, you see Nathan Peterman wasn't good. He completed 6 passes while throwing 5 interceptions. That's not good. While Tyrod Taylor was really good. So you don't even have to watch the tape. You can just say, like, I mean, A, you can watch the tape, but B, just look at the stat line. There's a difference there. One is good, one is not good. I mean, the locker room, they've got to be just scratching their heads right now, just like, well, what are you looking at? What are you evaluating? There's nothing to evaluate. Tyrod's the better player, and you always talk about making decisions that make us a better team. We are a better team when Tyrod Taylor is our quarterback. I don't know. There's just so many crazy things going on. And just, I don't know. I don't know if I trust the process anymore. I mean, if it's being recorded on a Tuesday, so we'll figure out tomorrow. They'll probably figure out tomorrow who's going to start against the Chiefs. So that'll be really telling in just how my confidence is in McDermott as a whole moving forward. If he comes out and says, yeah, we evaluated everything and we came to the realization that Tyrod's our best option right now, I'd be like, oh, okay, you came to your senses. But if he comes out tomorrow and says Nathan Peterman is still our best option to win, it's like, no, he's not. He's not. He got you, or he like almost single-handedly lost you the game. Yes, the defense wasn't good, but he threw 5 interceptions, and they scored, I believe, off of 4 of those. I think they scored off of 4 of those picks.
Scored 36 points off of turnovers.
Yeah, yes. So, like, yeah, the defense didn't stop them, but they wouldn't have been in those they wouldn't have been in the position to stop them had Peterman not given the ball to the Chargers. Yeah, Tyrod's most definitely the better quarterback, and if McDermott doesn't see that, then I don't know what to think.
Yeah, now, there has to be some underlying motive here if Tyrod Taylor is not playing. I mean, the writing is on the wall. He took a $10 million pay cut and probably has the most team-friendly quarterback contract in the NFL. I think it's pretty obvious to everybody that Taylor will not be a Buffalo Bill next year, but if they were going to tank or attempt to have Nathan Peterman grow and develop, you'd think that they would do this at the beginning of the season. Now, they did start 5-2, and the decision was made when they fell to 5-4, but I don't know how you can sell this as you're trying to win now and win in the future, as he loves to say, when the results are right there to see. And again, McDermott would not waver in his confidence of Peterman, which makes me think that he's going to start again in Arrowhead Stadium, one of the harshest environments in the NFL. While the Bills are still very much alive in the playoff hunt, as ugly as it seems, they have the 7th seed. They fell from the 6th. They're tied with the Ravens in the record, but the Ravens hold the tiebreaker just because of the conference record. But McDermott said one game is not going to define Nathan or Nathan's career. Young players go through it, and you saw some of it yesterday. I put that on myself. I own the decision still. As I said yesterday, I don't regret the decision. I only regret the result. It's never about one player. I'm confident in Nathan and his mental toughness. We'll move forward. We learn. We grow from it. We get better. So where do we go from here?
I don't know. It's just the only way I can rationalize this is, as you said, the writing's on the wall. Taylor's out of here. I think that McDermott and Bean have already come to the decision that they don't have any interest in moving forward with Taylor. So I think that they're kind of giving Peterman the rest of the season as a tryout almost. Like, if he plays well, we'll draft a quarterback in the third or fourth round. But if if he doesn't play well, we're going to package up and try to get one of the top guys.
It's just going to be very awkward when they do draft a quarterback in the first round after all of this hype about Nathan Peterman, who's a fifth-round draft pick.
That's fan-created hype. Peterman had a solid preseason. But the Bills are pushing
it
as well.
Yeah, he had a solid preseason, but the team is pushing it. Yeah. Obviously, fans are always going to want the backup quarterback, but what's the most odd and mind-boggling to me is that it's the Bills pushing this. You're putting pressure on a fifth-round draft pick. He went in the fifth round for a reason. I mean, teams didn't just say, oh, I completely forgot that this guy was in the draft. He was a day three pick. He has a very limited skill set. Sure, he may be a better fit for the offense on paper. He gets the ball out very quickly. We saw how fast he was able to throw those picks yesterday on a Sunday. But, he showed that he was not ready. And for McDermott to preach accountability and honesty and come out and just say what the comments that he said, if he wanted to practice what he preached, he could have easily came out and said, you know what? Yeah, this is on me, which he did, but he wasn't ready and I was wrong in my evaluation. That's all he had to do. But now he's going to face a myriad of questions about every decision that he makes going forward for the rest of the season, especially if he names Peterman the starter against the Chiefs, who are a team that the Bills are fighting with and are still trying to earn a playoff berth.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think this is a playoff team, really, with Tyrod or Peterman, and that I think they have a better chance with Tyrod, obviously, but there's just too many holes on this team.
Yeah, absolutely not.
All over the place.
But the players in the locker room, they want to make the playoffs, whether we think they do or don't. I think it speaks a lot to the guys in the locker room, guys like Kyle Williams, Lorenzo Alexander, Eric Wood, guys that are busting their tails for years with this team, and with the exception of Lorenzo, just to see these starts and then these crash and burns. It's a yearly occurrence. So, yeah, they want to build for the future, but these guys have hurt. Kyle's been here since 2005 or 6. Eric Wood since 2009. They've heard this building for the future every year. You know damn well they want to make the playoffs, and they're not worried about developing Nathan Peterman to be a quarterback 2 years from now. So there's two sides to the argument. As the fan, we want to see the team develop and become contenders. But McDermott, everything that he sold could have just went down the drain with this one decision.
Yeah, and it's truly unfortunate. This is just, I mean, I don't know why, but this season hurts more than others, just because we did start 5-2 after, like, everybody thought in the offseason that we were a 4 or 5 win team just in general. So it's the worst case scenario, really, because we got that hope, we got that excitement, and now we're, you know, 5-5, so we still get the disappointment, and we still got few games to go yet. So we've had a full season's worth of emotions in just 10 games. And, you know, we have 5 wins. We're probably going to finish 6-10, 7-9, so we're not going to have an extremely high pick either. So it's really just worst case. But believe me, if we can put Tyrod back in and just this team, you know, retaliates and says, yeah, the national media has been questioning us, but we know who we are. We know that we're a good team. We're the 5-2 team. We're not the 5-5 team. And they come back and they do make the playoffs, I will be super excited. And that would just, I would have all faith restored in Sean McDermott. But just, I don't know if it's just the cynicism because of the three recent losses, but I just can't see it happening.
Yeah, so I think this has been enough Nathan Peterman talk for everybody. My brain is about to explode. So let's move forward to this Kansas City Chiefs game. We don't know who's the quarterback still, but this is an interesting game on paper, actually. The Chiefs are 6-4. They are kind of having a similar arc to their season as Buffalo. They started 5-0, and now they're 6-4, but they've had losses of 1 point, 3 points, 6 points, and 11 points. And they're coming off of a 12-9 loss to the New York Giants, who won their second game of the season, I believe, yes, on Sunday. Quarterback Alex Smith is having a resurgence. He's showing, once again, you know, a rookie was drafted for him in the coincidentally with the Bills trading down and them trading up to take Patrick Mahomes. He's completed almost 70% of his passes for 2,674 yards, averaging 8 yards an attempt, 18 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's been fantastic. The rookie running back, Kareem Hunt, has been unbelievable this season. 173 carries, 873 yards, 5 yards a carry, 4 touchdowns, 8 rushes of 20-plus yards. Then he's added 35 catches for another 335 yards. And the stat that's even scarier, considering the performance of the Bills' defense, is he has forced 60 total missed tackles this season. The Bills gave up 35 tackles combined against the Saints and the Jets. They only gave up 6 against the Chargers, but the run defense has been absolutely atrocious. They've been gashed, and it could get ugly if the Bills don't figure out how to defend anything, really. Kyle Williams is just getting double teamed. Teams have figured out that if you run duo on Buffalo, you're going to run for 200 yards on the day, essentially. This is a tough run first team. Andy Reid, you know, it means a lot for Sean McDermott. He rose through the coaching ranks under Coach Reid, one of the best coaches in the NFL, in my opinion. So this is a big game. If the Bills win in Arrowhead Stadium, they could be right back in the mix of things, but it will be a difficult test for this defense that really has collapsed in their losing streak. What do you think about the defense's recent performances, and what are you expecting against the Chiefs' offense?
Yeah, the defense has been very poor. I think there's a stat. They've given up 135 points in the last 3 games after giving up, like, less than that in their first 7, which isn't good. That the defense has just fallen off, not forcing turnovers anymore, which they've heavily relied on, and you know, Alex Smith doesn't turn the ball over. He has 3 interceptions, ironically less interceptions than Peterman had in a quarter. So there's that. Yeah, and run defense is going to be an issue again. I mean, that unit struggled since Marcell Dareus was traded. I don't know. I'm sure there's a correlation there, but perhaps they've just faced better running backs, and Kareem Hunt is a very good running back. So there's a realistic possibility he goes for, you know, 150 against us, which is upsetting. And I don't think we're going to win this game. It's just very sad. The Chiefs are a very good team, you know, with that 5-0 start. Granted, they've fallen off kind of here in recent weeks, but they're still 6-4, still in a playoff spot. And, I mean, even if we do win this week, who knows if we'll take the playoff spot back, because the Baltimore Ravens face the Texans, and the Ravens, of course, took the 6th seed from us. And, you know, they could beat the Texans. That's a very winnable game for them. I don't have a good feeling about this game. I really don't.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And, you know, Leslie Frazier, he spoke about the shortcomings of the defense during this collapse, really. You know, the defense in their last 3 games has forced just 1 turnover and 2 sacks. In the previous 7 games, it's 20 turnovers. Frazier said, you know, turnovers come in bunches. We're not getting them right now. It's something we practice, but they have to find a way to get off the field. I mean, against the Saints, you saw them run 24 times in a row. A 10-yard drive for 94 yards that ended in a touchdown. It was like Sean Payton, one of the most aggressive, pedal-to-the-metal, offensive-minded coaches, was trying to go easy on the Bills and let the clock run out, and the Bills just wouldn't even let them do that. So against Kareem Hunt, who's arguably the rookie of the year, after giving up 194, 298, 146 rushing yards in the last three games, it's hard. I can't say confidently that the Bills won't give up 150 yards on the ground, like you said. And then you have a quarterback in Alex Smith, who's been one of the most efficient passers in the league this year, against a secondary that, outside of Tre'Davious White and Micah Hyde's hot start that's kind of fizzled out, you know, there's not many things you could point to where the Bills have an advantage. Their pass rush is non-existent. They're missing tackles. They're getting shredded in the passing game. And this is going to be a game where they need their offense to step up. So the decision to start Tyrod Taylor or Nathan Peterman will be huge. And I think very telling of what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean want the outcome of the season to be. Because you look at the Kansas City Chiefs defense, they're tough. And, you know, they've got a strong defensive line, something that the Bills have struggled with. Their running game has been inconsistent. Yes, they ran for 173 yards against the Chargers. But Justin Houston is a matchup nightmare. He's going to be going up against Jordan Mills. He's got 7.5 sacks on the year, 15 quarterback hits. We saw what Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram did a week ago. Then you have Chris Jones, Benny Logan, Alan Bailey is a strong, strong 3-4 front. And it's tough. I mean, their secondary, Marcus Peters, he's a ball hawk. And he's known for picking off passes, getting those pick sixes. Phillip Gaines, who's been playing in place of Terrence Mitchell recently, has really struggled. He's allowing 107.5 passer rating when targeted, over a 50% completion rating, and their safeties are absolutely terrible. So this is really the only thing that gives me confidence. Daniel Sorensen, their safety, is their leading tackler with 59, but he's missed 12. And him himself in coverage has allowed 24 receptions on 33 targets for 300 yards and 2 scores. Ron Parker allowed 15 of 20 receptions to targets for 178 yards. So I think that you're going to have to utilize the middle of the field. It'll be interesting to see if Kelvin Benjamin can play, Zay Jones, Jordan Matthews. They'll need a full arsenal of weapons to really, you know, keep pace with this Chiefs team.
Yeah, exactly. And it's for the reasons you just brought up that I think that we absolutely have to start Tyrod this game. Just as you said, their defensive line is very talented, and we saw last week that when Nathan Peterman's pressured, he throws interceptions. Perhaps Rick Dennison will get in his ear and say, hey, if you're getting pressure, just take the sack. But I mean, he's not Tyrod. He's not going to run away from the sacks. So I truly think that we need a quarterback in there this week that is going to be able to evade the pressure that he's probably going to be getting for the majority of the game, just because the offensive line has struggled. He'll probably face a lot of pressure, and then just hopefully once he gets into space, he'll just be able to pick apart the, you know, the mediocre secondary.
Yeah, and really the last 2 weeks, there's been some damning statements by defensive linemen about the Bills' two quarterbacks. Joey Bosa, after the 54-24 loss, said, we knew going into the game that we could have Peterman shaken up if we get in his face once or twice. He's a rookie. We watched his tape from preseason and against the Saints, which is a very small sample size, but apparently that was enough to give them confidence that they could force turnovers and make him make bad decisions with the football if they got him under pressure, which is interesting considering the fact that, according to Pro Football Focus, Peterman was one of the best passers in the nation when facing pressure. Then, the week prior, Cameron Jordan had criticisms of Tyrod Taylor, saying we simply played a contain rush and made him be a quarterback. So, like McDermott said, they have two very different skill sets. Tyrod's going to evade some of those sacks, although he's been sacked 29 times this season. But he has the mobility to get away from that rush and sometimes make those dynamic plays that have fans and media alike have hope for him as a starter. But then on the other hand, Peterman, in his limited action, showed that while he can't escape pressure, and he gets rattled under it. So it'll really be interesting to see not only who starts, but just how the Chiefs game plan for this, because with McDermott not naming the starter on Monday, Kansas City has less time to prepare for two vastly different quarterbacks as well.
Exactly, and I'd like to give McDermott credit that he's holding off a little bit, making him sit in suspense, but is that actually part of the game plan? I don't know. Maybe he just spent all day evaluating, watching the six completions for Peterman and just talking himself into it. We'll have to wait for tomorrow and see.
He had to see your Nate's Not Hot video a couple times just to be sure.
He stayed away from that, man. That'll get him. That'll make him upset. He can't see any. Nate made some pretty darn good plays.
And pretty darn good.
Pretty darn good plays from the 10,000 foot view, and that's what you gotta watch.
Yeah. So if you're in that blimp, shoot us some. Tweet us some shots of Nate Peterman's darn good passes, please. I think that's all for today. I think we've covered this ad nauseum, both in the podcast, on Twitter, on BillsWire.com. Covered all the comments, angles, analysis you could really have on the situation. We'll know more tomorrow and probably have another podcast Thursday once we know more, with a little bit more in-depth preview once we find out what's going on with Kansas City and the Buffalo Bills quarterback situation. So that'll wrap things up for today. Once again, you can subscribe to the Bills Wire podcast on iTunes or Audio Boom. Make sure you bookmark BillsWire.com for all things Bills, breaking news, analysis, insight, quotes, hot takes, anything you want, we've got it. As always, I'm your host, Rob Quinn. You can find me on Twitter at RobQuinn619. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at TheBillsWire. Kyle, where can the people find you?
On Twitter at Kyle Selegi.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to us, let loose about our emotions on Nathan Peterman and Tyrod Taylor. And go Bills.